Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and I'm just wondering there, Addy, on a shabby scale, if you're very, somewhat, or not too.
I'm going to have to go with somewhat shabby today. But we're
somewhat
gonna,
shabby.
I am somewhat shabby, and we're going to hit it up with the right first topic, because speaking of shabby, TNA presented Victory Road to the 620 people that ordered it.
Well, how many people are in the Impact Zone?
Eight.
Well, no, 300 people?
Oh, probably about 300 people,
yeah,
I think.
So 307 people saw this pay-per-view, and yet we want to talk about it. In fact, we've been dying to talk about it the last couple days. Instead, we were talking about other subjects on our other shows because we wanted to wait to see if more information came out about Jeff Hardy's condition, his trial, things of that nature.
That's true.
You know, any spoilers, we wanted to kind of see where they were going or have an idea where they were going before we talked about this.
Before we tore it to shit.
And the same thing sometimes with Raw, SmackDown. We want to wait a couple days, see what's up with it. But now we kind of have a perspective, and we have a lot of venom to talk about. I mean, I want to hammer these guys. I mean, this show's only going to go 45 minutes. If I grab the hammer Valentine, then by that time it's over,
You won't even be warmed up.
No. You go first. I want to pound this. I want to hammer this. I mean, I want to do all the things that generally I do to your mom.
Well, let's do that, because this blew, okay? And Victory Road, I want to start with the actual pay-per-view itself. We'll get to Jeff Hardy as he was in the main event here, but let's start with the actual Victory Road pay-per-view. I believe we watched three tag teams break up. Inc.
Didn't break up. They just tease it.
Well, they tease dissension. Yes.
Dissension. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're partners that can't get along.
Well, that's a running theme.
Partners that can't get along. So we got Inc. who couldn't get along because Shannon Moore was mad. We get Matt and Jeremy Buck, who I forget which one. Mac's birthday, and so Jeremy was going to let him win or something. He didn't know about it. So then they were looking at each other and.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the women, who apparently are going to go to a breakup deal. All of this on a pay-per-view that featured the Dudley Boys continuing their feud, if we want to add another tag team to break up. To further my point that Vince fucking Russo doesn't even read the fucking show that he writes after he writes it. Just scribbles it down on the back of a fucking Wendy's napkin and then fucking throws it around, gives it to fucking Kevin Sullivan so he can wipe his fucking ass with it, hand it to Dixie, she can say it doesn't stink, and then they put the fucking show on.
Well, let's thank Jim Cornette for the actual news. A shit is known as a Russo, and an ass is known as a
Dixie.
You
wipe your Dixie, yes.
You wipe your Dixie after you've taken a Russo. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sums up. I mean, this was a horrible pay-per-view. They'll acknowledge it's a horrible pay-per-view by offering people a free promo on their website for a product that nobody wants. Here's my problem with them putting on this horrible show. Here's my issue. People say, okay, only seven people saw it or whatever. Okay, let's just say it's 10,000. Okay, just for the sake of argument, let's say 10,000 people ordered this.
Wow.
Let's say that they have, or 8,000, whatever it is. Those are your hardest of hardcore. And you're saying, well, you've only pissed off, you've only really annoyed your hardest of hardcore. But the truth is, that's the entire point. If you are turning away those people who will say to somebody, I watch that shit and I love it. I'm into it, who will talk to somebody at a water cooler about it, say, oh, I saw WWE. Yeah, I watched TNA. I love that. Whatever it is, even though it seems small, you cannot say that those people aren't important, because those are the people, even if it's only a few of them, those are the people that have stuck with you.
Well, they have, and I mean, yeah, and that's the big thing, is that they've admitted that the show sucked dick.
Admitted the show sucked.
They admitted it. They've decided to give people a 6-month free viewing of their
old
classic on demand on the web on their website. So
obviously,
they're
very interested in seeing it.
Web content. You
can tell by our reaction.
And quite frankly, some of that is good stuff that they've got in their vault and in their archive. But I mean, does that make up? Is that like? Why would I go back and watch that? Like,
well,
let's say I spent $45 to get an HD pay-per-view of Victory Road, and you're going to give me 6 months worth of fucking YouTube videos?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if YouTube didn't exist, if other download sites didn't exist, then this would really mean a lot more. But, I mean, they acknowledge it. Of course, they wouldn't acknowledge it on TV. They just acknowledge it on their website, and, you know, hopefully people will go to – I don't know.
Well, let's go. I mean, let's keep going. We were talking about the teams. We talked about the fucking – and then the first blood match.
Weren't Hernandez and Morgan a team at one point?
I believe – yes, they were a team. Yeah. And then
I just want to say this about TNA. TNA, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. You go from that stupid fucking spray-painted blood bullshit where someone doesn't even...
God.
Well, you don't even think about looking for a cut and then fuck, okay, that's retarded. We realize that. That's stupid. That's them going, oh, look at the creative way I could finish it. Just fucking cut a person and end the fucking
match. But I don't know about that, cutting a person. I don't know if you... I mean, on TNA, would we ever see blood?
Well, that's exactly. I mean, oh, geez, you might piss somebody off if we did that. But and then you go to the number one contenders match, which is a double countout.
Yes.
Okay. And then let's get
you know what,
to
but,
the main
but
event.
Here's the thing. Okay, double countouts. You've given us no finish. That pisses people off. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a tremendous match that leads to no finish,
Mr. Anderson was in it.
Yeah, that's my point. It was a shite match.
Well, yeah, and
that
the
led
other,
to no finish.
The other thing is and I'm talking about Mr. Anderson. I mean, and this is a company that has a
heel
recent,
face, heel face.
Well, whatever. I don't even give a shit about that. I stopped giving a care about that a long time ago. But the fact is this is a company that has a history, a recent history. If we go back to, I believe it was September of restarting matches that go to like double countouts or time limit draws.
Oh,
they must have a winner, right?
Yeah,
and so it's. And so to have a double count out of the ring, when we get to the main event, because that preludes to the main event, is booking a finish of a double count out in your number one contenders match, knowing that you got a flaked out, fucking hopped up goofball fucking sitting in the back waiting to go a minute and 28 seconds against a 52-year-old man. And so you put on a fuck finish.
Wait, was Matt Hardy wrestling in this match?
Oh, no. He was in the back eating grapes.
Yeah.
Actually, Matt did have a good match.
Matt did have a good match. AJ. But in Fayetteville, when he came out, and he was, I mean, that night he looked just wasted out
well,
of his
yes,
mind.
But,
I mean,
hey, let's just, you know, let's...
A Hardy showing up in the
Hardy. I know, but, okay, let's get to Jeff Hardy. So what do you know about Jeff Hardy, Mo?
What do I know about Jeff Hardy? I know that he's an asshole. Let's I know that he's had
Anderson.
A continuance again.
Yes.
I know, rumors are that he showed up in no condition to work.
He has been sent home.
Here's my problem with it. He, not only that he did it recently and they said, oh, he was just tired,
yeah.
But he did it on his first run with TNA numerous times.
Yes.
Then he went to the WWE, straight and narrow, generally. I mean, he had some wellness issues, but generally you didn't hear he didn't show up in condition to perform.
He was always late.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, well, but generally he didn't hear that he wasn't in condition to perform. But,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, he did miss, what was it? Didn't he miss SummerSlam because of, was it SummerSlam he missed because of a wellness thing? Or was it Mania? It was something like that. I mean, it was some major.
I believe it was Mania.
It might have been, yeah.
I thought he dropped the Intercontinental title to Umaga just before.
It could have been.
Mania,
the point
but
being
anyway.
That, I mean, he does have a history of this.
Yeah.
TNA, though, I mean, you get this guy. I mean, you know, Dixie Carter, I'm so sick. I want to call her the C word. I'm not going to go that far. But I am so pissed off with this woman.
Cool.
I'm so pissed off that this. Yeah, Kool-Aid. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool beans. I'm so pissed off that this woman was. She tries so hard to portray.
Did you just
nice
say
image.
Cool beans?
What?
It's oh my,
one of my
god!
That's
gonna
be
a TNA catchphrase.
That
that's
could
be
a TNA. Well, that more like a PG era catchphrase, actually.
Wanna, yeah, that's true. Okay, anyway, continue.
All
sorry,
right,
you were talking
I'm
about,
so pissed off with this woman.
Ass.
I'm sick and tired of a woman. She wants so bad to have everybody like her. I'm a nice person.
Yeah,
I don't
fucking
fire
hate you,
people. I keep people around and I make sure everybody gets on TV so we can all be seen and everybody gets a payday and I'm a nice person and I'm not nice because I'm actually a nice person. I'm nice because I want you to think it's nice and it makes me feel better about myself. And I'm so nice, but I'm not going to sit there and be actually nice enough to actually enforce the drug policy. I'm going to have you guys take it once. I'm going to have you guys take a test once. I'm going to have people go up to you, tell you you failed, and not follow through with it. And don't hold up Kurt Angle as the hero as far as their wellness
the poster child.
Because you, look at this, Jeff Hardy. I'm worried about this guy's life.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I mean, obviously he's a tool. I mean, I think the guy's an idiot. I mean, I don't
care about him as Jeff Hardy, but just as a basic human being, I'm worried about the guy's health. And you know what? You can't sit there and act like you're the nicest person on the planet, Dixie, when the truth is you're not doing enough to change an industry that has a history of seeing people die young.
Well, I mean, you said Dixie. I mean, she's clearly Dixie is good enough. She's smart enough. And doggone it, people like her.
Oh, God damn it.
Well, but I mean, I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, like, you've got Jeff Hardy, a guy that he's obviously in no condition to perform. He can't even get up the friggin'.
Not for the first time.
No, not for the first time, but for the tenth time. And he can't get up the steps. I mean, he's stumbling over the steps. He looks like a friggin' fool. And my point with this isn't so much with Jeff Hardy, because, I mean, Jeff Hardy, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me 17 times, fuck, I don't care anymore. I am worried about this guy's life, but I don't put the blame in this situation on Jeff Hardy. Yes, he's a fuck-up. He's clearly an addict. He clearly needs help. But total nonstop action wrestling is the one that sent him out there to fucking perform in a main event of a pay-per-view. Total nonstop action wrestling is the person that made the fucking decision to say, yes, go to the ring. Yes, complete the angle. Yes, do it. You had a fucking double count out in your number one fucking contenders match. You got a fucking idiot as your fucking creative person that can't fucking think of a fucking way to turn this into a fucking three-way dance and send the fucking Jeff Hardy fucking home because he's fucking stoned and he needs to get some fucking help.
Is that you, Mikey? Mikey Whipwreck?
Fuck.
Okay, but no, all right. No, I mean, that's the thing. They sent the guy out there, and he did not. I mean, there was a lot of ways to get out of that. There's a lot of.
Oh.
What happens? I mean, yeah, and he's working with a 52-year-old that can't work either. That's broken down.
So. Yeah, but okay, that's so, fine.
I mean,
at least.
I mean, the injury could have happened even in that short little match. I mean,
yes.
He apparently had to hold him down. I mean, he's like, I mean, it's crazy, and you cannot justify it. There comes a point where that company needs to be held up and made responsible for their actions. They're enablers. It's like, you know what I look back on? I look back on Kevin Nash, and all those years, nobody ever talks about Kevin Nash being an addict. Nobody ever talks about Kevin Nash being having issues. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's
maybe
right.
He's drunking at Twitters or something like that, but nobody ever...
Drinks his red wine.
If you look at the people he surrounds around himself...
Talks to X-Pac.
The guy has been an enabler. He has always... And TNA is an enabler to their
well, they are.
So you go ahead.
Yeah, no, they are, and I apologize there. We had a little bit of a problem with Mo's mic there, so probably none of you minded because, well, that meant that Mo wasn't very loud, so that was all right. But let's get back to the point here is that we're talking about TNA, and we're talking about the people that are too stupid to figure out a way to turn this situation around and send a guy home because Jeff Hardy was in no condition to perform. He's going to be in no condition to perform. They've sent him home now. Okay, so great.
Well, I got stuff to say about that,
okay,
too.
Well, then go right ahead.
You know, here's the thing. You've sent him home now, but you're not doing anything. You never sent him home and put him in rehab. You aren't even, as far as I know, doing an intervention. There's nothing that you can see. You just sent him home. You didn't show up. You dropped the title, kid. You're going home. Guess what? He's paid well. He probably doesn't mind being home doing some whatever he does.
What?
But not only that, my thing is, you send him home. So not only professionally, you have screwed up this angle, but creatively, they send him home, and then the next night, it's just Sting saying, oh, you turned him Black Hulk Hogan. You made him evil. But you don't actually in any way explain why the fuck he isn't there. You don't have any ideas. So you're professionally, you're doing it wrong, and creatively, you're doing it wrong. And why the fuck are we even talking about this?
Let's keep. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, to me, the first thing that I thought of when I did it was just, you know, if that's me, then I'm having the face of the company, Eric Bischoff, let's say, go to the ring, a la Paul Heyman, and just say that, you know what, Jeff Hardy will not be here tonight, and instead we're going to be giving you some great action, and again, turn that into a three-way dance. I mean, it's just so easy. But
because, you know what, there's nothing I want to see more than RVD and Anderson after their great match with 52-year-old can't move his knees Sting.
What I'm saying, though, is that, yeah, but...
I know what you're saying, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Of course.
Fuck them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that goes back to, we talked about it, you know, a while ago that before the pay-per-view, that, you know, we couldn't even think of any of the matches that really that were on the pay-per-view.
But here's the thing about TNA.
So the whole thing was just stupid, and I don't even want to talk about it.
No, I know, but I just want to say this. Here's what's getting me about them, though. I mean, it would be one thing if there wasn't great talent that's not employed in one of the major two sitting out there. If this was the best, if they were making chicken salad out of chicken shit, I can understand that. But there's so much great talent, which isn't on one of the national top two companies, that they could acquire and put on a great show, and they're not doing it, and they're giving us this, and then, I don't know.
I guess Fallen Angel, that's the big comeback for the 31st, March 31st show, is he comes out and helps Fortune and dives off the top of the cage in a cage main event to come in over Immortal to...
$20 says within 2 weeks he's Curry Man.
Oh, yeah, he's hot, he's spicy, he's Curry Man, absolutely, brother. And speaking of, Curry Man, of course, Japanese, which leads us to Hulk Hogan. And the captain, Mr. Thinker here, what is it, the tsunami that's taken over wrestling, brother, is what he said.
Yeah, because you know what, they got so much momentum and they're taking over. But forget about the bullshit on it. We know bullshit comes from Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah.
Use that line right after a tragedy where last I heard was 10,000 dead. I'm not sure if it's even higher now.
It's tragic, though.
It's tragic, and to be that insensitive or that unaware...
Yeah, that's stupid, really, is what it is.
It's just stupid. And don't tell me you're going to edit it off TV. And then did you hear his apology? What was his apology?
What was his response? His response was he's sorry, but he's not a robot. He's not held to a script. He goes in free flows, brother, and sometimes when that happens, he's so creative that mistakes happen.
Yeah, no, mistakes. I can't personally believe, I mean, who knows, maybe there was a script. I can't imagine somebody in this right now would write a script with that in it. But nevertheless.
No, this was Hogan going out.
No, just going off, but no matter what.
Nobody scripted that line for him. And then it's just, again, that just comes back to the whole problem with TNA and I mean really with Hogan paralleling the downfall of TNA and his comments that were going on Larry King Live. I remember after his prison conversation with him.
What's
and Nick
worse,
got,
actually,
got
come
leaked.
Tell me what is worse, is Hulk Hogan using that phrase after this tragedy, or Stephanie McMahon going on after 9/11 and comparing the 9/11 attacks to her husband, or her father, sorry,
her father.
Vince McMahon, being prosecuted for steroids by the United States government? What's a worse turn of phrase? What's worse?
Stephanie's worse because it aired.
Yeah.
You know, at least, and I mean, SmackDown.
I want to call her the C word now.
Well, yes, SmackDown. Well, that was another stupid thing. But SmackDown was live, but I think those segments weren't live. Would have been taped earlier in the day, so that
you can't tell me she didn't run it past somebody. She shouldn't have to. Nobody should have to tell Hulk Hogan that's inappropriate. Nobody should have to tell Stephanie McMahon that's inappropriate.
Well, no, but I mean, it's something that you kind of come to realize common sense just isn't common, right? So, I mean, is it conceivable to me that Stephanie McMahon actually believes that? And it's conceivable to me that Hulk Hogan thought he was being, topical, and he was getting heel heat,
And it's conceivable to me that one's a moron, the other's a bitch.
Well, yeah,
guess which one is which?
Well, yeah, Hogan is a bitch. But yeah,
absolutely.
It's one of those things. But let's get off TNA now. I'm sick of talking to TNA.
Absolutely.
And,
that's what she said.
Of course, the one last note that Eric Bischoff being promoted to executive producer of Impact.
Because he's done such a fantastic fucking job.
Well, you know what?
They're making more money than they've ever made before. Oh, wait, no, they're losing more money than they've ever lost since he's been there in a position of power.
Well,
let's promote him.
Yeah, let's promote him.
The only good thing is, maybe now he has the power to get rid of that fuck nut Russo.
Well, that is true, and that is.
But I doubt it because you know Dixie's really nice and she's got a family to feed.
Everybody loves Dixie. Yes. All right. Well, let's move on to something more positive, shall we?
Well, you want it to be more positive.
Let's
you
move
were
on
telling
to,
that to,
to
me.
Monday Night Raw. Let's start because Monday
you
Night
saying
Raw.
You were our last shows were not positive enough. Addy was telling me he wants to be more positive.
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm a little upbeat. I watched this victory road. There's the team, the, you know, the Jeff Hardy thing. It really, I mean, the whole stupidity of it just really pisses me off, and I'm sick of sitting around and going, why the fuck do I just follow this business? Why do I watch this business? And then I see The Rock.
Okay, but I just want to say this. I want people to write us, email us. We talk wrestling at aim.com, Twitter us, so you can find us there.
We talk
wrestling. Go on our wall. Tell us, do you want us to be positive, or do you want us to talk about wrestling that's happening today? Yes. Or do you want us to just be positive and to talk about wrestling that happened in the past?
I was down. I was Sunday, just shit.
The Rock made me laugh hard,
Rock,
dude.
Rock, you know, why? Because I'm not talented. Because you're not talented. That just made me laugh. And he's like, and even that's the elephant in the room. Look, to watch the elephant go bye-bye. Watch the elephant go. And, you know, oh, just, and what do you call him? A Fruit Loop.
I don't know, something.
An untalented Fruit Loop or something. No,
yeah, something
fruit.
Like that. No,
oh, God, that made me laugh. And that kid did a really good job with the...
My kid's
with
actually
the,
a rapper.
With the jersey. Yeah, that. I think I remember him from America's Got Talent, do I not?
I don't know, because you know, I'm a man, so I don't watch America's Got Talent.
Honestly, I swear I saw that. I knew. See, until you just said that, I thought I recognized
but,
that.
But apparently
that
there's a music video out there that he's done and that type of thing. So he's,
yeah.
He's actually
but anyway, I think that's who that is. That's right. But and he pulled up, you know, he did the
but
jersey
I thought he had no talent
thing there. No, but it was he did a good John Cena impression. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, no more gang signs. Let's talk man to man. Oh, but that made me laugh. And then they still are doing the stupid shit Kevin Dunn with the fucking look over the crowd that I hate. But I didn't. They did it less and less, but they did it for the Shawn Michaels ones, too. It seems that anything's on the Jumbotron now. They have to show, look, the crowd is watching it, too. I don't fucking care that the crowd is watching it.
Yeah,
the crowd
could
be sitting picking their asses. I don't care. I'm watching the friggin' promo.
We're a live show, Pat. People in front of an audience.
You know, they are the... wow. Yeah, and they're actually the longest-running weekly episodic program, is that?
They're the longest-running...
The Rock was great.
The Rock was great, but goddamn the music at the end.
Well,
talk
that
about
was
the production.
Stupid, too.
I mean, it's one thing to think you might be able to enhance Matt Hardy or Kane,
yeah.
Especially Kane, but you do not enhance The Rock. You cannot enhance The
well,
Rock.
The thing
in fact, when The Rock is in a movie and he's being entertaining and he's saying something really funny,
the Rock's
there's not
been
music
entertaining
talking
in a
over
movie?
In the rundown,
that's
and there's not music talking over him then either.
No.
Fucking idiots.
Well, it's just, and I wonder if...
It's them going, it's the same thing as, them putting that music in there, it's the same thing as what they did with Bret Hart and Vince. They had this great angle. All they had to do was tell the truth.
No.
And instead, they decided to break the guy's leg in a limousine.
That's
it is, because
the
it's them deciding they can enhance it creatively
minor.
By writing it or the production. They can't just just let it be.
Well, no, but that's minor, though. Putting the music in there is minor. That The Rock comes...
Okay, but it's the same
no,
point.
No, it's not, though, because...
If one is them trying to be more creative than they need to be.
No, it's
that's
not.
The, point.
Well, the Bret Hart thing was them trying to add creative and build a story around why these guys should have a match when the story was obvious and it was 14 years old. With The Rock, they put some shitty music over his thing, and it's something that... Did,
I think you're missing what I'm saying.
Did it detract from the angle a little bit? Yeah, but...
It's not that it detracts from the angle. It's just that you're sitting there
well,
thinking,
I understand what you're saying.
I can enhance something. I can make it better.
Yes.
Because I'm creative.
And it doesn't.
Instead of just going, let's just let greatness be, or let's let the story be, or let's let the personalities be.
With the Bret Hart thing, it was a creative thing.
Okay, someday we're going to talk about that Bret Hart thing. If you think I have venom now, fuck, just listen to me talk about that.
It was a production. It was a production
thing. But you know what? Here we are. We're turning this into a negative again when it was an entertaining thing.
It was.
But unfortunately, it sits there and it turns me against Cena again. I don't see how you can have that heavy angle where The Miz beats the shit out of him at the end, at the same time while Cena's telling me he has no talent, and expect me to care. You're at some point in time, they need a focus on this direction, and I'm starting to feel like they're losing that.
No, well, you know what, though? The Rock will make it great, and that's
The Rock
that's
will be
I
great, but Rock will Rock make it? Will The Rock himself will be great, but will The Rock make it great?
Yes. Yes, he will.
Okay, I hope
Rock
so.
Will make it great. I do I did like that because Rock opened the show, so I thought they were going to open the show and maybe Cena. I do like the way that this angle is playing out in terms of the back and forth, right? Is, you know, one week it's Rock's turn to cut a promo. Next week it's Cena's turn to cut a promo. Then it's Rock's turn to rebut. And next week, because Cena didn't, I was thinking that when they opened the show with The Rock, that maybe, okay, well, Cena's going to respond on Monday as well, but he's not, and clearly he'll do that this coming week. And then the go-home show, the 28th, Rock's going to be there. So then that's the Rock retort, a little bit more build for the go-home to Mania, and you know, and there we are. So I think I do like how that, at least that Rock Cena portion, and now you're starting to get Miz. I do agree. I think Miz may be winning too much, but that on Cena.
Problem is that they have three. It's not that he's winning too much. It's that you have three separate angles. You don't have one angle that involves them all. You have Cena versus The Rock.
Yeah, I don't mind that,
though. Miz versus The Rock and Cena versus Miz. It's three different angles. And in one, a guy's a babyface. Another one, a guy's a heel. And another, you know, it's...
Yeah, but Rock is awesome, so I don't care.
Yeah, but that's... You know what? But that's making them... That's not holding them accountable. That's a lazy answer, quite frankly.
Yeah, it is.
The Rock is great, so I don't care. So I
watched WrestleMania last year because of Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Vince McMahon, and The Undertaker. Are any of those guys full-time performers? No. But it was a one hit. Love to see them all. I mean, in the case of the Bret thing, the match was shit. But, I mean, but then you had the exact opposite with the HBK Undertaker match, and now this year I'm looking forward to The Rock, I'm looking forward to Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm looking forward to HBK going in the Hall of Fame, I'm looking forward to Trish Stratus, you know, I'm looking forward to Triple H and
Good
The Undertaker.
Lord, does she look hot
and
Monday.
I know, and I'm looking at all that and I'm thinking, okay, well, so WrestleMania now seems to me to be the time of year where the stars that were when wrestling was good all come out to play, and they just sort of happen to dance around all these new kids that suck shit.
Well, okay, let's tell. What are you thinking about what they're doing with The Miz right now?
Well, see, I do think that The Miz is. I mean, The Miz. They were backed into a corner. They painted themselves into a corner. I mean, it's their own fault, but they painted themselves into the corner in that they were trying to protect Orton, and so when Miz won the title, he didn't get over on anybody. So he was essentially the chicken shit loser champion that nobody took seriously to begin with. So nobody assumes that in this Rock Cena Miz thing, Miz, we talked about it before, Miz was the little brother trying to get in and play with Big Brother and his friend, right? And so now what they're doing is the light bulb went on, and they saw it clearly too and said, oh, nobody takes this Miz guy seriously, and quite frankly, rightfully so. And so now you've got him cutting the promo on The Rock and doing the people's elbow and beating the shit out of John Cena at every turn. I mean, the Great Khali thing did not help. Anytime the Great Khali is involved in anything, it doesn't help.
Unless he's, well, it helps our show.
It does help our show because we get to know the real Great Khali.
Yeah.
We go beyond and really delve deep into the inner workings of what makes the man tick on this show. But outside of that, I mean, him and Miz, you know, and Alex Riley, you know, went to the John Cena School of Firing, and now he's back. And so with that, though, Miz looked weak. Now he's starting to look a little too strong. Again, I'm not overly concerned about that because that's just how the fucking Fed works. You lose, and then you win the title.
Yeah. Or in the case of Rey Mysterio, win the title, then you lose.
Yeah, but Mysterio lost. All three of those guys. On the three-way leading up to that WrestleMania, all three guys lost. It was who's the winner of the losers is what that was. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I just want to say this. Here's my thing with The Miz, is that he's coming across like an asshole you want to see get beat up. But he's not coming across like a main eventer.
Yeah, I was going to say a main event.
There's a difference. Yeah. Yeah, he's beating up, he's attacking a guy from behind and beating him up with a chair. And he's being a real dick. He's being a real, you want to see him get punched. I also want to see Michael Cole get punched, but I don't want to see him challenge for the world title or defend it. And that's the issue I have with The Miz right now.
What if Michael Cole fought David Arquette for the world title?
I that I would pay for.
Actually, you know what?
I understand
right now,
someday we are going to have David Arquette on the show.
I understand that. That's going to happen. And actually, at this point, it would actually be David Arquette would fit more into TNA with his recent rehab stint. But
that's true. That's true.
But let's go. Let's go.
It's my subject.
Stick
my
with
subject.
Wrong. So your turn. Yeah. Like. All right.
No.
Let's
okay.
Do this.
Snooki.
Snooki. Okay. Go ahead. It's your
topic.
It's
your topic.
Snooki.
You get it first.
Oh, well.
I'm throwing the topic out there for you to respond to.
Oh, for me to respond. You want me to respond to Snooki?
I
didn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem with Snooki. She's shorter than Rey Mysterio, so he loves having her around. But I on the surface, I think
she also weighs more.
Yeah, that's true. But we all know why Snooki's there. Snooki is there, so TMZ will cover WWE, so Entertainment Tonight will cover WWE, so the gossip magazines will cover WWE. She is their sort of publicity getter, really, right? The Rock's there to get people talking about, you know, all the old wrestling fans or all the people that were around and say, hey, did you hear the Rock's back? Did you hear the Rock back? So that's going to do that. Snooki, I think, I don't know how many buys Snooki's going to add. I think she's going to add more buys than she's going to detract.
She's
going to
turn some people off.
I don't think she is.
She is. She got booed on her way out there. There's
kidding?
A backlash to the Jersey Shore.
They don't have
point.
Backlash anymore.
Oh, that's right. Backlash has been an event that has been removed.
Because Joey Styles could call it.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, Snooki's not going to detract from buys. I'm not going to buy this show because Snooki's. Nobody's going to fucking say that. Who's going to do that?
I don't. Maybe somebody will. Maybe they won't.
Is Snooki in the main event?
Snooki's not in the main
Snooki's
event.
Snooki's in a fucking mixed six-man match.
Yeah, they're
going to
go
on
her there.
Second.
I know. But the thing is, it's just there are some people who might go, fuck these guys. I'm sick of Jersey Store. There might be a few, but you're right. She probably does add a few more
she
buys.
Adds
I think
more
she
buys
adds minimal
she
buys.
Takes away.
I think she adds minimal buys. So maybe she adds more than she takes away, or it's the publicity or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. My issue with the thing is, number one, if she's going to be on, for God's sakes, where.
Or you can call me Adam.
For Adam's sake, wear some shorts that are longer and cover up more. Because when she bent over, I thought I saw a peach in front of me. Is what I thought it was. That I have an issue with the woman sitting there and calling. I just think, of all people and all the things they're going to do, does she have to call Vicky Guerrero fat? I mean, Vicky Guerrero, frankly, is a lot thinner than Snooki is at this
frankly.
Point. Quite frankly, take a drink on that.
That was a horrible segment, though.
That
was a horrible backstage segment, though, with Snooki and
Vicky
Guerrero.
Was awesome.
Well, no, but Vicky was she performed horribly in that backstage too, though. I thought I'm watching that, going, oh my god, this is not their. Vicky's just tremendous nuclear heat in
the
ring.
Like, probably several takes, and she'd probably be slapped several times at that point.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, and it's just. You mentioned Snooki. I don't have a problem with Snooki.
I have a problem with Snooki. I just don't think.
So you get to take a piss.
I don't like her saying that about Vicky. I want to see her covered up a little
bit.
I'm not saying I wouldn't fuck her. I mean, I'd fuck her, but ask your mom. I'm not picky.
No, you're not. You're not. But I mean, you didn't like what she said about Vicky. She didn't say that. That was a written, scripted thing for her. She didn't come up with that on her own.
My other issue, that brings up my other thing is, if there was, there's was originally four cast, I don't know how many there is now, but there was originally four female cast members on the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis, if they looked at it, they'd go, that JWoww one and this other one we could use, this one Angelina and that one Snooki, they're not good enough to be on our TV. Francine's not good enough, she's not quality of WWE and neither is Snooki. I mean, I just know it just strikes me as hypocritical bullshit.
Well, I don't
that's
care,
somebody
but,
who is they. That's exactly Vince McMahon's look at what he doesn't want to present. But it's okay because
she's a star. She people know who she is and that's fine. Who cares? You say that like you're surprised that there would be hypocritical bullshit in wrestling.
They're all assholes. That's all I'm saying. Like, so yeah, I have some negative. Okay, look, I know you want to be more positive. We have our first guest of the night, probably our only guest of this time. We have on. There was somebody I'm talking about. I'm all negative on all the people in TNA. I'm all negative about WWE. There's somebody who wants to say something about the people and WWE. And I don't know if any of you remember the former bodyguard in WCW for Chris Jericho, Ralphus. Yes. Is that you?
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
All right. Now, Ralphus, I understand you wanted to weigh in on the on the members of TNA and WWE.
Yeah, gosh, well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Patty, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what did you want to say about them?
No, they're great people.
What?
They're good people.
Yeah, but why?
They love me.
But you're a heel.
They're good people. They love me.
You're a fucking idiot, Ralphus.
No, they're good people, Mo.
Am I good people, Ralphus?
No.
All right. Thank you, Ralphus.
Thanks, Ralphus. She clearly seems like an intelligent person.
They're good people.
They are great people. Don't make fun of Ralphus. He's nice enough to come on our show.
Douche. Oh. Anyways.
Or no douche. All right, let's move
your
on
subject,
here. My subject. I want to talk about Grandmaster Blow Up.
Holy shit.
Yes.
All right, I get to go on this one first.
Yeah, you go first. The floor is yours.
I mean, the guy was acting. He was trying to sell it hard. I mean,
like
you
your
know,
mom.
Brian Christopher, Brian Lawler, whatever the fuck you want to call him. He was absolutely trying to get hired back.
Oh,
he was doing everything he could to make himself. I was once one of the biggest stars in the WWE. Are you kidding me?
What?
You were once a curtain jerker.
No, don't you remember that 10-man tag they had? He was in that.
Oh, that's right. My mistake. No, I mean, the guy's sitting there, and he was putting himself over, and he was overacting to the point where it's like, good Lord. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure they're pleased with him. I bet you he fucking plays a role in Mania. I'm sure he's going to come out during the match.
You think so?
Absolutely. I have no question in my mind. But the guy probably won't. But he was trying to get a permanent job back. You could tell he was overacting and not even talking about how he was out of breath because he danced.
And he might be able to get that because they don't really come to Canada that often anymore.
That's true. Because last time he tried to, he had some pot with him and couldn't come over the border.
Was it just pot?
I believe it was just pot.
But
that's enough to
more.
Keep you out of Canada.
That's true, eh? But...
Hey,
when he came out, it was just so funny because when they were talking and when Cole had said, "I have someone from Lawler's past," when he was in the coal mine.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I was hoping Honky Tonk Man.
See, I was thinking Jimmy Hart because we'd heard the rumors or everything.
Well, because he said family member. He said something about family.
Oh,
right?
He said, but he just said at first he said he was going to bring back someone.
For those of you might not know, the Honky Tonk Man is the real life cousin.
Yes, cousin
of Jerry the King Lawler.
Yes, and
they do not get along.
He calls out, no, they don't. But does anybody get along with the Honky Tonk Man? Lanny Poffo does.
Yes.
But he's full of glory and renown, so we expect that. But when Brian Christopher, and all of a sudden the music started and it went, turn it up. I swear, as I think I told you earlier, the 200 people in the crowd of 20,000 that popped, I swear to God, thought that Scotty Too Hotty was coming out. And then,
or Rikishi.
Well, or even Rikishi. And then a blonde guy comes out.
Which also could still be Rikishi. And he was a lot fatter than last time.
An overweight blonde guy. And then he starts to do his jackass Too Cool fucking dancing. And the only thing that came out of the Too Cool gimmick in terms of dancing was the worm. Because even their three-man with Rikishi in the middle little dance thing where they do the side-to-side gimmick and everything, none of that involved that spastic running man dancing
and the
shovel-digging thing that
he did. As he's
putting
himself over as the main eventer of the past, one of the biggest stars in the WWE.
Yes, yes.
What does it say when you were the Marty Jannetty of Too Cool?
Yes.
How pathetic is that?
Yes. You're the guy from Too Cool that couldn't make it.
Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
You're welcome.
And I just love that he's got his video, his Titantron, and it's showing him all with his brown hair and his goggles where he used to go on the top rope and rub his goggles and stuff. And then this pudgy guy, he's like, you talk about the Marty Jannetty, he's actually the BG James of Too Cool, looking all pudgy. And then somewhere he does the dance again in the ring, and then I call him Grandmaster Blow Up, because by the time he was outside of the ring talking to Lawler, he's huffing and puffing.
Yeah, like, it was strange to me, though, because when he first was talking, I didn't think he was breathing hard.
Cole was kind of carrying it, though.
Maybe, but I thought he started to breathe harder as he went on, and I thought maybe it was his emotion, because a little bit of what he was saying was a shoot. I mean, a lot of what he was saying was a shoot.
Yes.
He might have been legitimately getting, plus he was overacting and just the adrenaline, and I don't know if it was all just
was
the dancing.
An adrenaline rush?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just checking.
Yeah. Anyways, the point being that but here's my problem. I thought Lawler came across horribly.
So you did. I didn't.
I thought he came across horribly both when he had the ankle lock put on him at the end, and it's, again, we talk about the pathetic or sympathetic and the line, but I also just think when he sits there and, okay, Brian Christopher says, you never was there for me, you didn't want me in your spotlight, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I made it here and you refused to acknowledge me, and he goes, I'm glad you didn't use the name Lawler. And it's just like, man, that was an asshole thing to say.
Yeah.
If he had simply said to him, you know what? I wanted to care for you, and I made mistakes. But when you got older, if you don't think I opened those doors for you, if you don't think I care for you and wanted to be there for you, and meanwhile you were screwing up like Charlie Sheen, and I couldn't help you, and you don't think that pained me, if he had said that, he would have come across as a sympathetic babyface.
I popped when
instead,
he did.
Instead, he came across as an asshole and pathetic babyface. I think his wording just needed to be switched around, work or shoot, and just say, I wanted to and I made mistakes, but I wanted to be your dad. I was trying to be the best dad I could be.
I popped, though, when he brought the Charlie Sheen thing up, because that was very appropriate.
Well, no, it was. It was a ding thing
yes,
to say.
Yes, it was very much. But Grandmaster was definitely a Charlie Sheen-esque character. But so you didn't like it. You thought he came with to me, if it was, you know, if he came and go, I wanted to care for you, to me, that's pathetic.
Because it does. If it comes across like it's genuine, I've screwed up.
I tell you what's genuine. I told you that.
I screwed up. It's like Bret Hart saying to Owen Hart all those years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
I love you.
Yes.
Look at me. I love you. It didn't come across to that because it came across as genuine.
Well, he was a heel, but he wasn't
a heel to me. I was in Canada.
Well, that's true. But the funny thing, though, with it, when we talked about this a little bit earlier, is that you're talking about how it wasn't really realistic or anything. And I mean, I've screwed up a time or two in my life when I was younger. And the look that Lawler was given Brian Christopher, my dad has given me that look.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't
times.
Realistic. It was that it was too realistic. It was the opposite. It's that you needed to say something in there to soften it. So he became across as a sympathetic. Everybody makes mistakes, but good Lord, I
see that. That's why I liked it. You know. That's why I liked it. And then of course, JR comes out.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And that was
That was even better in The Rock, as far as I'm concerned. I think that was the highlight of the show for me.
Oh yeah, that may very well have been the highlight of the show for me too. When he called him a rat bastard it was tremendous. He came.
We've been waiting for it a long time, right?
We have, and now there's talk possibly that he's going to be calling some of WrestleMania. That's one of those things I'll believe it when I see it because there was that talk last year.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see him. The question is, we might see him call a match or two at WrestleMania. It makes sense for him to call that one match. I don't know if he'll call any other match, but it makes sense for him to call the Lawler-Cole match. That's logical. Will we see him the night after? Probably not. Will we see him for the rest of the show? Probably not. It does make sense. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to do it. Because, you know, I mean, the guy doesn't look like what an announcer looks like. You want a young, good-looking guy like Michael Cole.
Yes, like Michael Cole or Booker T.
Yeah.
You know, to be calling those things. And I mean, you'd really need that as a centerpiece because the announcers are on camera so much.
90 to 95% of the show.
That you really need that. So, but then, and JR, I mean, he was tremendous in selling the ankle lock.
Yes. Yes. Well, probably because he was really hurt.
Because he was legitimately hurt, Mr. Swagger, taking one Oklahoma note from to another. But
yeah, I was actually thinking that when I was watching it, I didn't realize that he was legitimately hurt.
Yeah.
I was watching Cole, and he had the ankle lock on, and I thought, he's twisting it too much. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's not trained yet. I thought he was going to be the one to hurt somebody.
Yes, well, you logically, that's what you would think going
yeah.
into that. That
looking
oh,
at it, it
I
really,
hope Cole doesn't
it, I guess
screw
he did it
up.
Perfectly, because it looked to me like it would hurt like hell.
It does. That's pretty funny. But yeah. let's keep going on the Mania front here, because that's the WWE firing on all cylinders, really, for WrestleMania. What did you think of Raw overall in terms of what I noticed is that we had Cole Lawler. We had, The Rock opened the show. Of course, Miz and closed the show with the beatdown there. But we had the Snooki thing for the undercard.
I thought the Cole beat or the Miz beatdown on Cena was on SmackDown, because it felt like it was 2 hours long.
That's true. That it did. It felt. Yeah, that did go on a little too long.
It went on a little bit too long. Actually, tell you the truth, as I'm sitting here and being really negative, all in all, I look back and I think that wasn't a bad show. I think I've generally been looking at Raw, thinking that quite a bit lately,
yeah.
thinking to myself, it's doing the right thing in that it doesn't care whether or not they're giving us good wrestling or doing anything other than building the angles for Mania. You're mm-hmm. building towards a payoff, and they do feel focused generally. Outside of, like I said, I think that three-way feud, I think it's losing focus. It feels like it to me, but The Rock is entertaining at least.
Yes.
But I do feel like, I mean,
2 weeks
the one match that needed to have a good match to build a Mania, to build interest in Mania, was Sheamus and Daniel Bryan.
Dryan.
And they gave us that. Dryan. Let's Dryan. Just call him that for short.
Dryan, okay. Well, did is
Sheamus
that,
and Dryan.
Did
I tell you, I actually work with a guy whose name is Dragon. That's his legit real name. He showed me his driver's license. Couldn't fucking believe it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And to think, that's what my nickname has always been for my penis.
And he's a Harvard educated, right?
Yeah, Dragon.
Because
yeah,
it's mythical.
Yeah. Seriously, his brother, named Gord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Yeah. Why not? But when we talk about Mania, that the Bryan-Sheamus match, not official yet for Mania. So, and the way they changed their mind so many times, until it's official. I mean, they were talking about the match that was confirmed for SmackDown on leaving Raw on Monday was Edge and Christian going after the tag titles, and they didn't.
No.
So, it was all set.
Well,
the legendary
really
tag team,
it on
right?
live TV, right?
Yeah, well, so, and then Edge against Brodeus and Christian against Del Rio were in a cage match bookended.
Christian went over.
Christian Cage, yeah.
Yeah, Christian Cage. Yeah, but yeah. Christian goes over in that match, which to me was a strange thing. I mean, unless you're going to have – what's the point of that? I mean, Del Rio needs to build the momentum for Mania. Christian, it doesn't fucking matter, right? Even though Christian at this point doesn't look like he's going to have a match at Mania. So I'm wondering what the hell's going on.
Well, you
on.
Talk about that, but he was going to be in that
he was,
that
but you know what? It doesn't
again,
look like it's going that direction now. It really doesn't look like it. They didn't at all put it together for this week. In fact, if anything, it looks to me like a 2-on-4 match. The Core versus Kane and Big Show. Maybe you throw a Kofi Kingston in there, make it a 4-on-4.
I
do something,
think so. Maybe you throw Christian in there.
Maybe, but I don't think so.
No, I mean, it wouldn't make much sense. I'll agree with you. But the only thing that, I mean, Brodeus ain't getting on Mania. And,
he'll be there as the bodyguard figure, and he's good in that role.
Oh, certainly, but he's not.
Because he was real life Snoop Dogg's bodyguard.
He was, yeah, apparently. Yeah. But he's not having a match, not this year. I mean, so I don't know what you do with. I would have liked to see Christian.
I'm not sure if he ever
took
a bullet for Snoop Dogg, but he certainly took a buffet for him.
He did. I would like to see Christian against Wade Barrett, but that's just me. Fantasy booking and throwing that out there. So yeah,
oh, yeah, that'd be
until
fantastic.
We see it, I don't know what the deal with Del Rio losing. That doesn't make much sense. There's only 2 weeks left though in Mania until
Christian
Mania.
Christian needs to win less, frankly. So, but Christian's getting almost the best push of his life here.
Well, he is.
WWE,
well, that's
ironically,
why,
as he doesn't have a match for Mania.
I hate to say Christian should be losing because he's getting the biggest push, and I want to see it. So
I'm a big fan, but it's a little
you're
strange.
A big fag, yeah.
What?
What'd you say?
Huh?
Huh?
Isn't that what they call cigarettes in Europe?
Yeah. Yeah, and you've got a filter, so.
You're a cigarette.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I wanted The Undertaker against Triple H.
Undertaker versus Triple H.
What'd you think of the build there? They neither guy showed up on the show.
The build is Shawn Michaels, and that's fantastic.
Well, they also had a
Shawn Michaels in that role as just talking as a person is very genuine. To me, I mean, he's so good. I mean, the build to me is Shawn Michaels building these guys up, making it feel special.
And they did have a video package on Triple H. And so next week, I'm assuming they're going to have one on The Undertaker.
Absolutely.
And again, this is
SmackDown.
All simple fucking shit that works.
They're not trying to... Yeah, that's a good point. They're not trying to, you know, have somebody spray paint somebody to get out of a first blood
yes,
match.
Yeah, if I can be honest
with
you.
It's not... It's old school. Much like we were talking about a previous show, talked about how Ray and Cody is working. Because that's very old school style booking.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not overly complicated. And this is the same thing. And you don't have to have... I'm somebody who doesn't – I don't believe in shades of gray. I also don't believe in this day and age you need to necessarily have a heel in the face. I think you just simply need to present over-the-top characters, and the crowd will choose the person in that situation they want to cheer for, or they'll cheer for them both. But the crowd will if there's interest because the characters are over, that's all you need.
Yeah.
UFC, to me, is a perfect example of this.
Yeah.
And you can get Rich Franklin against, you know, somebody, I don't know, who was the last person he fought?
Ace Franklin? Oh, God, I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even tell you.
You could have him against Chuck Liddell, let's just
say. Okay, they did do
both
that.
Both will get a major, major pro crowd reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But in the match, they will slightly start to cheer for one. But the crowd will be into it. It will be buys. That's, I think, what you need. I don't think, and that's one of the things about this. You're simply presenting Triple H's personality, Undertaker's personality, and people want to see it.
I do not know the Korean Zombie's name.
No, but you know he's the Korean Zombie.
I know the Korean Zombie.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all you need. Like, guys like that, exactly. It's characters that you want to see fight, and it's simple. And that's what I said. We're talking about The Rock and Cena going back and forth with the promos one week, the other. They just alternate, right? You got Hunter and Taker.
That would be great if it was just promos. Tell you the truth, I would probably have enjoyed this build for Undertaker Cena with Miz Cena with The Rock if it was just promos. If there was never any physical interaction and you were teasing it for Mania, but the constant physical and then Miz beating up people and pinning them in 3 minutes and just crushing people going in so he looks strong. That's to me how I would have done it. I think that would have been better.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah,
it
I mean,
would have it, not confused the issue as much
it,
as
it could have been better.
Confused the issue
the
a
thing
lot
is,
about how am I supposed to feel about this Cena character?
They've got my money for The Rock anyway now.
Oh,
so,
I mean, it's
one of those things that it's
okay,
all
it's,
good.
Okay, it's my subject. We're getting near... we're 51
we're
minutes here.
We're almost close to an hour here,
yeah.
Yeah,
we're getting pretty close. There's one major issue. We cannot go... Drew Carey, talk.
Ah, Drew Russell. Carey, yes. Drew Carey in the Hall of Fame. Forgot about Drew Carey going in the Hall of Fame this week with all the stuff that's been going on. And Drew, I mean, I know how you feel about the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. I have no problem with the celebrity wing of the
Somehow
Hall of Fame.
Somehow I don't mind William Refrigerator Perry because I felt that he added...
Because he was in a battle royal?
But you know what? He was in Chicago, and he was a huge cult hero at the time, in the NFL, the biggest league. And believe it or not, his being there added buzz, added interest to that event.
Yeah,
same with
true.
Lawrence
that
Taylor.
True.
I wouldn't have him going in there. Bob Uecker, I don't have any problem going there, because Bob fucking Uecker.
Well, that's true. Lawrence Taylor is hanging out with the Hardy Boys, though, so
yeah.
You have to wait for them to come back before he can go in.
Sean Waltman and Kevin Nash?
Yes, Sean Waltman and Kevin Nash.
We're going to be they did a face off interview together.
RF video, yeah. That's,
RF video.
We're going to be talking
about
that.
We're going to absolutely be watching this and talking about this in a future episode.
We saw.
We recommend everybody
video.
Goes out there and don't buy from RF video. Who do you buy it from?
High Spots?
I don't know.
I don't know who you can buy it from. I have no idea who. I mean, it's
there's
all
many vendors out there. Yeah.
Just pretend you're 18. LOL.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, Drew Carey. What was
Drew Carey, my opinion on Drew Carey, Bob Barker going to induct Drew Carey.
Is that it?
That's who's
okay,
inducting him.
I assumed it would be Kane.
I kind of thought maybe Kane too, but no, it's going to be Bob Barker.
I thought that was
going to
be his gimmick from now on, that he'd be inducting.
He inducts the celebrities.
Yeah.
Well, who else? He just did Pete Rose, though. Isn't that the only one?
But I mean, who else? I mean, who else celebrities are in there, really? I mean,
Bob Uecker, who did Dick Ebersol, did that.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying.
Who else
could have done some?
Who's another? William Refrigerator Perry is in, and John Cena did that, because he got booed in Chicago. Remember trying to do the NFL Films induction?
Yes.
William Refrigerator, and they booed him out of the building.
Yes, well, and then he got booed against Triple H the next night, but it doesn't matter because it was CM Punk's WrestleMania debut.
That was CM Punk's WrestleMania debut. He was one of the Tommy Gunn gangster guys, yes.
Yes.
That was tremendous. But, Drew Carey, for those of you who don't know, I don't even remember the year, quite frankly, but it was a Royal Rumble, I want to say 2001.
It was 2001.
2001, and he was having he was actually off. He was more of a forgotten celebrity, I think, at that point.
I think his show Whose Line Is It Anyways might have been on there.
Yeah, I think his Drew Carey show was over.
Yeah.
I think he was the host of Who Line Is It. Basically, what it was is that he was having the next night or the next week, he was having a pay-per-view stand-up thing himself that people could buy on pay-per-view, and he was there promoting it.
Now, here's the thing. He's such a big wrestling fan that when, what was it, a week ago, Brian Kendricks from TNA and former WWE superstar Spanky was on his show, he had no idea who the fuck he was.
Yeah, well, that's Brian.
He was on. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He was in WWE for like 3 years. He's been on TNA for like a year.
A fan though? Does he have to be a fan? How much?
Some. I would appreciate if a guy's being inducted. I would appreciate a guy's being inducted to the Hall of Fame at least knowing what WWE stands for.
Oh, I wouldn't care. Who cares? If you're not a fan, you're not a fan. You're just going in because you're a celebrity. It's all a vanity thing. It's all a promotional thing. It's not real. So who gives a fuck?
Still real to me, damn it.
Damn it, I know. No, I mean, I have no problem with Drew Carey being this year's. I was actually a little surprised that he was going in. But I guess they could swing the deal with him. It makes sense. He was an actual participant in the Royal Rumble. He's a celebrity participant in the Royal Rumble. And he's got to be the only one I can think of.
I guess, yes.
I mean, he's got a little bit of place in history as being, you know, hey, Drew Carey was in the Rumble. And I remember going, no fucking
You know what?
Way.
He's the first one, though, the first celebrity who's ever gone in who wasn't in fucking the WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's very true.
I mean,
true.
I guess Walter Payton next year. I wouldn't mind Walter Payton going in. Right, because he was with that in that match with
I think Muhammad
Razor
Ali needs
and
to go
Muhammad
in.
Ali.
I think Muhammad Ali should go in
because you know he stayed outside the ring and did nothing in WrestleMania 1.
It doesn't matter. He's still
Liberace should go
great,
in.
Still the greatest, right? I mean,
you know.
So I mean, who knows? There's
what
still,
is the what? I mean, how, who was it? Run DMC? Didn't they do the national anthem at one show?
No, they did the WrestleMania rap.
Oh, that's
they didn't,
right.
They didn't actually sing Boys to Men. I believe BBD did.
So the question becomes as Drew Carey goes in though is what does well, it? I've talked about wanting the Hall of Fame to be legitimate. There was a lot of Hall
Your
of Fame talk
dream,
in a very recent talk about TNA trying to highlight maybe a Cauliflower Alley or Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. We had talked about that in a recent episode.
Yeah.
I want it to be something more. I really want the Hall of Fame to be legit. Now I've given up all hope.
Yeah.
But my question for you then is, if Drew Carey goes in now, what is the bottom line for a celebrity that go in?
There is no bottom line. There is no bottom line. It's
there
whatever.
Is no bottom line?
There's no bottom line.
Is that there's no bottom line because Addy said so?
That's no bottom line, exactly. No, but there's no bottom line. I mean, it's a fucking – I mean, let's throw it all out there. Let's talk about a 9.0 earthquake and a tsunami in Japan to put things into perspective here with thousands of people being dead. This is a fucking wrestling hall of fame that Drew Carey's going to go into. There's no bottom line. There are serious problems in the world. And to worry about does Drew Carey taint the Vince McMahon's hand-picked hall of fame? No.
No, okay, no. That's a good point. But you know what? This is my escape, and this is something that I've always loved. I love wrestling.
Yeah,
I believe
so do
it's an
I.
Art form,
that's why we're doing
and
this.
Yeah, exactly. I believe it's an art form. I respect the performers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always like them, but I almost always respect
you
them.
You respect the Booker man?
No.
Oh, okay.
But
why? What about Booker T?
So if this Hall of Fame doesn't, it just it becomes difficult for me to legitimize why I would have respect for these things when it comes across like this. But I think there's just one last person. I think we do have a last celebrity on the line who's going to give his take on Drew Carey going to the Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
Thanks very much. Oh, well, I think that's all.
Joey.
The
I was going to say,
I guess he was on my side, right?
Case closed. Case closed. Yeah, I think. Well, I think no. He's excited. I think. That's what I'm getting from him. But no, I really, honestly, I don't think the way you, to me the best way to look at the Hall of Fame is, you know, okay, I'm excited that Shawn Michaels is going to go in. Yes. Sonny going in, yes.
Yeah.
The Road Warriors going in, yes.
If they go
if they go in at this
Bullet
point.
Bob.
It looks like Bullet Bob doesn't get a video on Rob, but Drew Carey does. But that's probably the best anyway. But I look at if in fact the Road Warriors bookend this thing and go in, they'd probably want to announce it next week, I would think, then – and Animal's going to be the guest host. Road Warrior Animal going to be the guest host of some upcoming house shows or live events over the summer.
He's promoting his book.
So
right?
He's promoting his book, and the fact that I think
from what I hear is a very, very good book. I'm certain I'll read it very soon.
Actually, yeah, I was wondering what kind of book Animal was going to do, but from all accounts, it sounds like it's really
good. It sounds like it's been tremendous. So I think we better wrap it up here.
Yeah, we're coming up on an hour. So
UT,
we are going to be in the meantime and in between time. I think that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
Absolutely. Ring a ding dong dandy.
Good night, folks.